Would you pray with me? Holy God, You've called us to be disciples, and we want to be. We pray that the words that we have just heard in Your Scriptures may infuse in our hearts and minds not just a sense of what it means to be a disciple, but may it also give us the strength and the energy and courage to be one. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen. We live in a day and age where people want to know the value of everything. It has spawned the likes of the Antique Roadshow, the plethora of sports memorabilia shows where people look for items signed by great sports stars. I'm reminded of a story that I once heard about the great artist, James Whistler. He is the one who did the painting entitled Whistler's Mother, of a lady all dressed in black with a white bonnet sitting on a chair facing the side of the painting. The story goes, he was never known to be bashful about his talent. I was once advised that a shipment of blank canvases he had ordered had been lost in the mail. And when asked if the canvases were of any great value, Whistler remarked, "Not yet, not yet." We like to think that what we have or what we do has value. We like to think that even our money has value. And it does to a certain extent. But I found these words by Frederick Buechner to be very thought-provoking. He wrote, "Money, the more you think about it, the less you understand it. The paper it's printed on isn't worth a red cent. There was a time you could take it to the bank and get gold and silver for it. But all you would get now would be a blank stare. If the government declared that the leaves of the trees were money, so there would be enough for everybody, money would be worthless. It has worth only if there's not enough for everybody. It has worth only because the government declares that it has worth and because people trust the government in that one particular, although in every other particular, they wouldn't trust it around the corner. The value of money like stocks and bonds goes up and down for reasons not even the experts can explain. And at moments, nobody can predict. So you can be a millionaire one minute and a pauper the next without lifting a finger. Great fortunes can be made and lost completely on paper. There is more concrete reality in a baby's throwing its rattle out of the crib. There are people who use up their entire lives making money so that they can enjoy the lives they have entirely used up. Think about that. We spend so much time and energy for what the world declares is valuable that we totally miss the things of real value. And when, if ever, we discover the things that are truly valuable, we despair, because we spent so much time chasing after the stuff that has no value. I'm reminded of something that I've shared with you before by the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. He wrote, "Thieves broke into a jewelry store and didn't steal anything. They simply rearranged the price tags. The next morning, the expensive jewelry was sold as junk, and the junk jewelry was sold as expensive." His point is obvious. We live in a world where somebody has rearranged the price tags. So then we ask the question, how do we know what is of real value? Well, Jesus tells us. When he tells the rich young ruler to go and sell all that you have and come follow me. It's not the accumulation of things that we find, it's not in the accumulation of things that we find value, but in the way that we care for people, the relationships that we build. Those are the things that have value. Now, at this point, I'm going to make a plug for an event the Christian Education Committee is hosting on November 8th, on Sunday, November 8th, immediately following worship. We're going to have a brunch and a lecture and discussion. The lecture is by Dr. Michael Norton, a professor of business administration in the marketing unit of the Harvard Business School, where his research includes the effects of social norms and social factors on people's attitudes and behaviors and the psychology of investment. Now, I attended this lecture last summer at Chautauqua, and this is a DVD of that lecture. And I found it extremely informative and thought-provoking. The title of the lecture is, Does Money Buy Happiness? And it's based on his book, Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. What is the true value of what we have? Or maybe we should put it another way. What is the true value, or our true value, as a person? Jesus is clear that it's in following him. And while he did not have much of anything to his name, he was a person of great value in how he treated other people, how he taught others to do the same, and continues to teach us through the words of the scriptures. Now, we need to be clear here. Jesus is not saying that people with wealth cannot get into the kingdom. In other words, if you have wealth over a certain number of dollars, sorry, you're canceled. You can't get there. He's not saying that at all. But what he is saying is it is very difficult because by the nature of accumulating wealth, they generally are following a different compass. Martin Smith of Sojourners Magazine explains it this way. Jesus, of course, is talking about the absolute opacity of the kingdom to those who are dedicated to wealth, power, and privilege. They can't enter it because the kingdom, that invisible network of new relationships, of people living out of compassion and moral inventiveness and creativity of a suffering God, doesn't exist for them. Insofar as they may detect odd signs of the kingdom, they will automatically dismiss them as trivial or perverse marks of failure. God, with whom all things are possible, is able sometimes to shatter the prejudices that block the wealthy from seeking the reality of the reign and desiring it. Such breakthroughs count as miracles. The very activity of accumulating wealth or success drives a person by a different set of values. Values that the world has said are the greater value. But Jesus tells us the price tags have been switched. And the accumulation of material wealth is really of little or no value. But we have to live. But we have to provide for our retirement. We don't know what the future will bring. You've heard those before, haven't you? It's not easy to live as a disciple of Christ in the world. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to compassion, to relationships that nurture a willingness to suffer with and for others. But that's so difficult. How can we do it? That's what the disciples said. How can anybody possibly reach the kingdom? Most of humanity can't do it all the time. But that's where the writer of Hebrews helps us out. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, We have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus knows how hard it is. He knows how hard it is to be in the world and not of it. He is able to sympathize with us. Now the question then becomes, will we accept this grace and mercy and try harder? Or will we say, that's impossible, and in Star Wars language, go to the dark side? The side of the world. The disciples were astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. That's when the miracles occur. When people accept the grace of God and offer compassion, love, and grace to others, people are faced with a new alternative way of living. That's when 5,000 people get fed. That's when an adulterer is saved from a stoning mob. That's when people slowly feel their life that has been draining out of them, like the woman with the hemorrhage, find new life and hope. They find healing. The things we call miracles are moments of compassion and grace. Those are the times we see, very shortly, glimpses of the kingdom. Ah, this is the way it's supposed to be. These are the valuable things, the valuable times. These are the things we need to live our lives by and for. By the world's standards, it means we won't be the first. In many cases, we will end up towards the bottom in the world's eyes. But in the kingdom, we will be first toward the top. And isn't that the most important thing, the most valuable thing, to live in the kingdom? And I'm not just talking like kingdom as heaven. I'm talking about kingdom here on earth. And I think we have to look, too, at this through the eyes of the church. What is kingdom living for the church? It's no surprise to any of you that we've been struggling financially. And we have to seriously look at it. But not just in terms of how do we find people and money for our future. We need to be asking, what does it mean to be a compassionate, grace-filled church? And if we start there, then it will inform the future of our congregation and our church facilities. That's the discussion that we will be having in the near future. But for today, let's just start with ourselves. What do we value the most? There are those who say, if you want to know the answer to that question, look at your checkbook register. What do you spend the most money on? But of course, today you can't just look at your checkbook register. You also got to look at your credit card receipts. What is it you spend your money on? Does it reflect the world or the kingdom? In relation to that, I want to end with an account posted by the actor Robert Geer. He writes, "When I went undercover in New York City as a homeless man, no one noticed me. I felt what it was like to be a homeless man. People would just pass by me and look at me in disgrace. Only one lady was kind enough to give me some food. It was an experience I'll never forget. So many times we forget how blessed we are. We should not take that for granted. And if we can help someone in need, we should do that. That's why after I was done, I walked around and gave food and $100 to every homeless person I saw. They cried and were so grateful. Be the change you wish to see in the world." I guess I would add to that. Look in the right place for what is of value. Amen.